I see him come out of the bathroom and just like sit. So that he sat on the bed facing the window. So I'm like literally staring in the reflection straight at him. And he's just sitting there by himself, like staring straight ahead, kind of like dazed for like 10 minutes. And then
like he just murdered someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
We invite you to join us on our hunt for all things spooky.
We're here for the tricks and the treats.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Easy Bake Coven. Hi. Happy day after Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy shopping at the small businesses that I'm posting on Instagram today. That I've definitely already made the list of and gathered all the information for.
We're recording in advance for those who haven't picked it up yet.
Duh.
As per usual.
And we both had fucking microphone malfunctions at the last second. Because of fucking course we did.
Of course. I plugged it in and I was like, it's blue, but I can't hear myself. What the hell?
Oh, God. I was feeling really zen, like, coming into today as well. I was like, I'm excited. I got my cider. Like, la, la, la. And then I was like, fucking fuck, shit, fuck.
Where goes the zen?
And then, like, and then every time I'd press, it would be like, core audio not available. And then it kept flashing at me. Like, just fucking go away. Stop flashing at me so I can just fucking fix it.
All the zen went out the window.
Just gone. Back to my regular self.
Do you notice I'm in a different location tonight?
I notice. Okay, first of all, that you look very cute.
Oh, thank
and second
you.
Of all, that you are not cold.
I'm not. Well, I have a blanket
you're
on still.
Cold. I'm less cold.
Well, you're still
less cold.
Yeah, well,
you're in a heated place.
It's negative 20 out right now.
That's Fahrenheit?
Yeah, Fahrenheit. Yeah. So what is that Celsius?
Holy balls.
Fucking cold.
I think that's fucking cold is what they call that in Celsius.
There's actually, like, I'm sure this means something's wrong with the insulation of our house or the humidity or whatever. Someone smarter than me can say that. But no, there are just, like, in the window panes of the doors, there's literally frost on the inside of our house.
Oh, my God. That's because you're not designed to live in places that cold. They're like, yeah, we don't make buildings for that. Like, it's going to get in.
Yeah, yeah. So my sweet father has let me record here tonight because Ben was like,
die.
I don't think I could allow you to record in your studio without a heater because you might actually
you
die.
You might literally die. Yeah. Like you might actually have frostbite and then pass away.
So I'm here at my dad's tonight and
nice.
I'm not freezing my butt off. And I have some warm rum eggnog mixture going on. So
I have a tall boy of Samuel Smith's organic cider. Look it. It's almost as big as my face.
And it's not the only tall boy on the show tonight.
I don't know if he's tall. Actually, Josiah's really tall.
Is he?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. Amazing. We have a guest tonight. A tall guest.
For your Black Friday privilege of listening, we have a guest.
You may have remembered me talking about our boots on the ground. Josiah. Going to Skinwalker Ranch. Going to Salem. Looking for UFOs.
Haley gave me like a little rundown of what we're going to talk about tonight. And I was like, how has all this happened to one person? I don't understand.
I feel like he's about to become our unofficial third co-host.
Maybe he'll be the writer. He'll bring us our sources, you know?
I read the list to Matt and he goes, oh, wow, you're gonna end up having him on more than once, I think.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, here's an episode.
Okay, so this is like kind of an old friend and new friend of mine in different ways. So I have a very old friend that I've been friends with for like 15 years who her and another friend started this thing. I think I was in grad school or like right around that time. So like 2012, 2013, something like that. And they started this thing called Local Wanderer, which was like a blog travel thing. And the whole thing was that they were going to drive down the coast, like from BC to, I don't know, Mexico or something, and not use any GPS and just meet people along the way. And then like, and then just be like, hey, tell us your favorite, like, are you a local? Tell us your favorite spots around here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe they were in Northern California and like we're sitting in a cafe, I think, and like just walked up to this guy, started chatting with him, and he was like, oh yeah, like I'll take you like cool spots, whatever. And like just became really good friends with him. And so for years I've heard about this guy, Josiah, this, that. Oh, he's like Elaine's twin. They're like best friends. He's like flying here. He's flying there. And so then like I felt like I knew him because my, you know, like a bunch of my friends loved him so much and always talked about him, but I had never met him before. And then I was at a wedding last year and I was like, he was there. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I know you because I've just heard your name and I've heard so many stories of you over the years. But I had like a different picture in my mind because of like that friend group. They're not like ooky spooky.
They're really short, you know? Unlike him.
He was way taller than I thought. No, they're like cute. They're like cute aesthetic girlies who are like beautiful and like very good at Instagram. And,
and he's not cute.
I didn't think that like they would, you know, like
he's like edgier,
this guy who's
kinda.
Like the same person as me. He's like, what's up? Bigfoot's real. Like, oh, yeah, let's trip mushrooms in the desert and look for UFOs. And I'm like, oh, with the Christian girlies? Really? Okay. I never anticipated that. So we met and I was like, you're the best person I've ever met in my whole life.
Yeah. Like, we need to be better friends.
So I was like, hi, nice to meet you. I feel like I know you. And then we started following each other on Instagram after like we met. And I was like, everything that you post, I love. And then he started listening to the podcast.
We are twins. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was like, actually, we might be the same person. And he like will send me like stories for the podcast, like, hey, you should cover this. Like when the that UFO website was live, like he's the one who sent me.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
So he's basically been contributing to our podcast for a number of months now. And now we're just making it official.
Making it official. And he's kind of been on like a spooky pilgrimage, hasn't he?
Yes. It's he crazy. Is what you and I would do if we were single white men with like tech jobs.
Not a fear in the world.
Yes.
Didn't have to worry about abductions from aliens or men.
Do you want to go to Skinwalker Ranch and trip balls and see what we see? Like, yes, I would do that in another life. Yeah, not in this one.
No, not in this female body.
Not in this little dainty,
youthful,
lady
young.
Actually,
gorgeous.
Today, side note, but just for my own ego, I was hanging
someone
out with
asked if you
mom.
Were a nanny.
She was like, wait, no. How old are you, Haley? And I was like, I'm 32. Why? She was like, oh my God, you're so young. Like you're, and I was
thank
like,
you.
What? And she was, because she's in her 40s. She was like, oh my God, how do we have kids the same age? Like, you're actually a baby. And I was like, I know. Like, I don't know. Someone gave me, I adopted
you're
it.
You're like,
I
don't need any Christmas presents because you just that's gave it. Me everything I needed today.
But I was like, you have fewer crow's feet than me. So I don't feel comfortable having this conversation with you. She takes better care of her body. And then the dad was like, maybe you just smile more because you're happier. I was like, no, that's not it.
That is I love not it. His perception, though.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's a creative reframing that I can get behind.
Okay, yeah. Anyway. See, it's all about perspective. That's all it's about.
Yeah. So tonight he's going to beguile us with his spooky tales.
I'm so aplenty. Excited. I am shocked that one person can have had all these experiences and yet
many
you
lives.
And I, who are begging it to happen, have had basically none.
Like, all I want is to live in a fucking haunted
for
house.
Real. Maybe if we had the ability to go after it and seek it like he is, it could happen. Maybe.
We should just leave our families behind.
See you, Eloise. Good luck.
Girl, I've been taking care of you for long enough. Yeah. It's time you
Mama's
learn a lesson in independence.
Road.
Yeah. Alaskan winter, fend for yourself.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going
good
to find some
aliens. Good luck in that -20. Yep. Getting beamed up.
One day when our children are independent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll go on like a hot, like Grace and Frankie age. Like, when in our 60s or 70s.
Many we'll crow's feet will have joined the scene.
A murder of crows.
Murder.
It's amazing. Yes.
It's relevant.
Yes. It's so tracks.
All right.
Is he here yet? No.
Oh, yeah, he is. I'm the person that admits him. My bad.
I was like waiting for
is
you.
He?
Like,
yeah, he's here.
Yeah. I'm just like filling
we're
time.
We're just continuing. Okay.
Sorry. Okay, wait. Let me open up this list so I can remember and track.
I forgot that I am the owner.
He was
meeting.
Like, I want to talk. Oh, okay. Also, I was like, how do you want me to introduce you? Like anything you want me to say in your, in your like blurb? Let me read what he said. He was like, I'm single and looking for orbs. And then he was like, no, just kidding. And I was like, nope, sticking with that.
Too late. You wrote it.
So, ladies, he's single.
And looking for those hot, round orbs. Oh, on that note, let's welcome Josiah.
Yay! A muted microphone and an avatar.
Oh,
there he is.
A face of a human.
Hello.
He's real.
Yay.
I exist. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Happy to
so
be
glad
here.
To have you.
Elise, Josiah. Yeah. Josiah,
nice to
Elise.
Meet you.
Hey, good
You've
to meet
you.
You've
got great hair.
Yeah. I didn't
yeah, come on.
We're,
yeah,
really
beautiful
hair.
Thanks. Yeah, yours of work.
Thanks. Yours of work.
That's good.
I share that you're single and looking for orbs because it was too good a line to not share with the podcast world. Also, we like your dream woman may be listening to this podcast.
Well, more importantly, I might also actually see some orbs.
Screw the dream woman.
There's a lot. Those are easy to find. Oh. It's the orbs.
It's the orbs that we've been having a hard time locating.
So do you find orbs to be credible? You feel like you see an orb and you're like, oh, that's legit. Because Haley and I have feelings about orbs.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. I've never seen an orb in person. I had someone DM'd me when I was on my UFO tour and said there was like a specific beach that I could go to where apparently she sees them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going back to San Diego
to go see them.
That's amazing. Well, see, that's the
okay.
That's
so
part of the problem.
This
I
is
think
like
I
a
have.
Like a glowing thing that you're going to see, though, right? Like this is like not like I took a photo and there's orbs in it, but this is like a glowing thing you can see on the horizon or whatever.
Yeah, it's supposedly like in San Diego, there's like a spot where you'll just see a bunch of them like come from offshore and do a bunch of stuff and then like go back the way they came.
Wow.
Cool. There's lots about it on Reddit, but I also, you know, I don't necessarily believe that all the time, but she's like not into UFOs. Mm. And so she was saying I could see an orb. So I'm pretty sure I could see an orb there, or at least
what's
it
also crazy
promising.
Is that that's really close to Pendleton. Right. And it could be the U.S. government testing technologies that they have not made public, which is also cruel and sinister.
Also probably more dangerous for Josiah than the orb would be.
Yeah. Maybe you don't want to see orbs.
I think that's part of our problem
I'd still
want to
see
with
them.
Orbs is when they're captured in photos, because it's like, okay, that could be dust or a bug or whatever. But if I saw one floating at me in a way, I would definitely be convinced by that.
Also, remember when we interviewed Shannon and she like shared the photos
that
from
was
her
compelling.
Book of the orbs, where it's like a photo of nothing, and then when you actually look at the picture, it's like
so
700,000 little dots. That it's like, okay, that really can't be explained. That's kind of cool.
Totally, it's very you know, case by case basis.
Yes, isn't it all?
That's true.
So far, we've not yet quite found the case that we feel is. Like,
but there's
the most
probably
compelling.
One out there.
It's fucking. It's there.
I want to believe.
It's insane.
I don't even know if I'd believe it if I saw it. Like, I don't know. I'd have to like. I'm gonna have to see something like 10 feet from me for me to actually.
This
you know,
is what I said before. I need to be probed by an alien in a ship, and then I'd be like, you know what? This might be for real.
Yeah,
this might be legit.
And even then, I might not believe it because I'm like, oh, maybe it was just psychosis. Right. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm fucking losing it.
Did I take shrooms last night? No.
Okay, so you have kind of a crazy list of topics.
I got topics.
A real potpourri. And I figured if you want to just dive in whatever sort of story thing event feels right, and we will just follow you there, my friend.
I'm ready to go down the rabbit hole.
Which ones sounded more interesting? I got
all
a UFO.
literally all of them.
I would like to know, like, starting with your background in this cult. That was very fascinating to me. And I feel like it would give us a good
this is chronological.
Idea of you and how you kind of got into this world of spookiness.
Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting story.
Tell us about your childhood trauma.
Yeah, let's dig
there.
Into
I'm a therapist,
it.
So it's safe.
Sick. Should I just jump into
go
it?
For it?
Yeah, yeah. So okay, all right. So you've shared with me before, and then I shared with Elise that you were raised in a cult, essentially, right?
I was raised in a cult. So it's a Christian. I think the branch is called like Reformed Evangelical. They're pretty out there. They still exist. That's the terrifying part. Is that group of religion still exists? But it was a pretty wild experience. Like it was, I was homeschooled, and it was primarily out of a fear of government education or like education by anything other than, you know, that you want to control
your kid's
belief system. Yeah.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, you know, the common indicators of a cult, like controlling people's beliefs, controlling their access to other people. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very isolating. And the weird part, so I grew up in Santa Cruz. So Santa Cruz is like a, you know, there's a major university there. It's like
pretty.
Yeah, I was going to ask where. I was expecting like a Midwest state or.
I was totally thinking Midwest. Totally.
Yeah, no, Santa Cruz. I mean, a lot of the people in this cult, it was a church, this cult, it was like conservatives that did acid. So there were like aspects of.
Both our eyes.
Sort of like.
The exact same thing. But like, what?
Yeah. So it's like in some ways they were progressive, but they were still very like, anti-gay marriage, anti anything other than like straight white cis belief system.
Pro LSD.
Mm-hmm. Weirdly, well, so a lot of people in Santa Cruz, I think, have done. It was just a very prominent thing.
So it's like, okay, well, we have to be chill with this, or we won't get a congregation.
I don't think that it was talked about a ton. It was like everyone kind of talked about their past as like, oh, I was, you know, a surfer or whatever, did acid back in the day. And then now they're super religious. They weren't still doing acid. But I'm like, if you did acid, how do you end up in a cult? Right. Like,
or like, how do you end up in a conservative, like Christian cult? I could see ending up in like a groovy surfer cult, but like,
yeah totally.
But like not sort of narrow minded, like not encouraging any kind of free thinking. I could see like a cool sex
I'm reading 100%. A novel right now called Drop City. I don't know if you've read it, Josiah, but it's like there was a real cult called Drop City, and this is like a reimagining of it where they moved to Alaska and whatever, but they're a cult in the 70s that does a lot of LSD and they're tripping out and stuff, and so I kind of picture that, but there's definitely no Christianity involved in it, so that's the surprising thing, I think.
And no like hate
right
speech.
Right.
And racism, is that also a piece of it?
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, they taught that slavery was a mutually beneficial relationship, which is obviously false. There's a lot of things like that that, like, so I was in that just as a, you know, very young kid to when I was like 14-ish. I was still like vaguely religious for a while. Like I worked at a church coffee shop.
Didn't we all at one point or another?
Yeah. It was a fun experience. Wouldn't do it again, but made a lot of friends. I was like vaguely religious for a long time, but it took years of kind of like going back and like reevaluating, you know, what you learn in that first like 10 years is not necessarily conscious thought. It's a lot of like subconscious sort of programming that you have to like go back and reevaluate. The freaky thing to me though is, so the main church exists in Idaho. So they're in Moscow, Idaho.
Oh, wow.
They still exist. And if you go do some research, they have Vice articles about them. There's like books from women who got out. One of the more horrifying things that they teach is that like rape in a marriage doesn't exist.
Oh, Lord.
One of those ones.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to explain that whole organization is like, if you've seen Handmaid's Tale, it's like the prequel. Handmaid's Tale is like the natural outcome of that belief system.
Like very like obedient to your husband, kind of
subservient. He is your master.
They would not like us.
Like openly patriarchal. And like women proud of it. Aren't allowed to talk. Yeah.
Just like
in Santa Cruz,
like you said.
In Santa Cruz, that's wild.
That's fascinating to me. Like the Idaho thing tracks for me, but Santa Cruz, that's a.
Are there like shocking. Lots of offshoots around the country, or is it just that?
I honestly, after I left, I didn't identify it as a cult at the time. I didn't really understand what it was or how my parents got sucked into it or any of that. And then in more recent years, just because I've been interested in cults, I kind of started researching it and being like, oh, you know what? That was for sure a cult.
Right. I was in one. Yeah.
They have a lot of branches. I think the one in Santa Cruz was one of the earlier ones. But they still exist, and it's wild that they are picking up, like they're expanding, like they're still growing.
Oh, that's terrifying. You'd
think an organization that corrupt would get taken apart or something would be fallout.
Look at Scientology and the Sea Corps, is that what it's called, Haley? Like that people are brought in like mass numbers into these crazy cult organizations that are still raking in the money somehow. I don't understand.
Thanks, Tom Cruise.
Truly.
And your witchcraft.
But I know we've talked about this before, that it's the people who are the hardest to convert. Those are the people they want to bring because they know that you can then convert more people because you've been duped.
Do you know how your parents ended up in that situation?
I don't talk with my parents a ton. I've never actually talked with them as an adult about that.
Mm-hmm. Are they still in it?
They're still religious, but they're not a part of that. Okay. I vaguely recall, if I remember correctly, they got kicked out, but I'm not entirely sure if I'm remembering that correctly. Mm. But there was a point in time where we were not a part of it all of a sudden, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Thanks, Satan, because that probably, you could still be in that shit.
For real, yeah, man. Mm. It's weird to think that there's a possibility, looking at it as an adult with my current brain, I'm like, oh, it's insane that I would be a part of that or be involved. But it's also one of those things where if you're in a cult, your psychology is broken, right? Yeah, you don't have the self-awareness. There's these control systems.
And you were a child.
Yeah, especially if and you're raised in that culture.
Isn't even grown yet. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you're totally socialized and all of that's everything that you know. So how would you ever know anything different? Then I imagine you look back and you're like, that's not normal. Oh, right. Yeah.
Having to unlearn all these things that you took as fact for years. Yep.
Lots of therapy. Therapy's great.
Hey,
lots of reading.
Yeah. Wow. We're glad you made it out.
Thanks. Yes. You know, turns out drugs are fun.
As long as you're doing them not in a cult.
Yeah. Correct.
Wild. Wild.
Yeah.
Here's a question I have. Within the cult, was there talk of aliens and or ghosts? Was that something they believed in? Or was it like, we don't talk about those kinds of things? And has that either way kind of
impacted your interest?
Yeah.
I would argue that if you believe in Immaculate Conception, you believe in some kind of ghost, right?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What? Yeah. There's some.
It's core to the religion.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
No, okay. I was like fascinated with Bigfoot as a kid. So there's a Bigfoot museum in Santa Cruz, near Santa Cruz.
We talked about it on our Bigfoot episode, I think.
So cool.
Nice.
That's another pilgrimage we have to do.
That guy's out there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I got into Bigfoot. I was just fascinated with the possibility of something existing that we haven't figured out. Mm-hmm. And just the sheer number of sightings, and I can't rationalize how it is possible we haven't caught more than grainy photos, although that recent video is pretty good.
Kind of compelling.
Still could just be a guy in a gorilla suit, but could kind of compelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of just got me into everything else, right? Like you start ironically listening to podcasts about Bigfoot, and Bigfoot's the gateway to UFOs, right?
I was going
to
say he's your gateway drug.
He's so approachable. It's cute. It's cute little folktale. Kind of fun. Yep. Next thing you know, jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, and you don't have any friends. You have alienated yourself socially from the people.
And then you're reading
love.
Mothman erotica.
That's all over. Took, and it's very dark.
No, then you end up on serious UFO road trips for taking time off
that's
work.
That's the dream, man.
Yeah, we were very jealous of your life. We were talking about that before you joined the call. Elise forgot that I'm not the host, so we were just shooting the shit. And she's thinking to herself, why isn't Haley allowing Josiah into the call? And I'm like, God, he just must not be here yet. I guess we should talk more. So we were just sort of salivating over how you're living our dream life, going on these trips and such things.
Very jealous. Can't lie.
You know, you're welcome to join. It's pretty fun. I didn't see any UFOs on my UFO trip.
Oh, you did.
But I did meet someone who was the granddaughter of someone who was at the Roswell crash, and we had a really fun,
will you tell us about
4-hour conversation.
Will you tell us what she said?
Great segue.
Yeah. So the most interesting thing that we talked about was, so she works at a shop in Roswell, and there's lots of like UFO, like kind of touristy shops. She worked in one where they like screen print all their own stuff. It was a really cool store. It was empty. Like, there's not a lot of stuff happening in Roswell. It's a really cool town, but there's not a lot of tourism. So we just had like a while. I spent a lot of time looking at stuff. I spent like a lot of money in that store.
I'm sure she appreciated it greatly.
And so we started talking, and because she works in the store in Roswell, people who come in, she said, just would start talking about stuff. And so she said she's had a lot of sort of ex-military and current active military. I think she said like Air Force and Navy, that will come in and start talking about current active reverse engineering programs. Where they are and like what they're working on and which contractors are, like Lockheed and I think it was Raytheon.
Of course it is. Of fucking course it is.
My money is still on Lockheed. That was a fascinating conversation. Her perspective on the whole Roswell crash and like the half-assed cover-up and all, just the weird timing of like the Manhattan Project right into that crash is that we just came out of a giant war. And there was tons of fear. People were constantly afraid of everything. And so the idea of something coming out would have, like, basically people weren't ready for it. But, like, if you look at people now, I mean, the whole Senate hearing, nobody, there was no reaction from anyone.
No. Yeah.
Like, there were some great memes, but, like, everyone's response was, like, I still have to pay rent. Like, okay, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, what's in it
Remember
for me?
Remember the world is nothing. Ending? Does it impact my day-to-day?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
And I always have this opinion of, like, if they're telling us, it's not true, because they're not going to tell us the important thing. So this is just, like, a distraction from something else that's far more sinister or I don't trust the government.
I gotta get probed to believe it.
I don't want to like go back to your childhood trauma of being anti like government and like don't trust anyone, but I actually don't trust the government when it comes to this shit.
That's valid. Yeah, that's probably a healthy lack of respect.
What did she say about, like, her family history of like, the Roswell incident? Like, what had been passed down? Or, like, you said it was her grandparent or great-grandparent?
Who was it? It was her, I think it was her grandfather was at the farm. I don't know if it was his farm. I didn't ask that question. But, so he was, you know that, like, drawing of the crash site? Like, there's a mural in Roswell of, like, the crash site and the debris. And so apparently that was, like, from his sketchbook. So it's like on the side of her shop. Yeah. I have a photo of that. I'll have to send it to you.
Yes, send it to us. We can put it in the episode.
Yeah. No, it was a really cool conversation.
And they feel like it was legit. Like there was extraterrestrial something and he saw it with his own eyes. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded like there were for sure bodies and possibly some that were not dead. unclear.
Cool. Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I got a lot of money riding on bodies and craft being disclosed in this within the next, like, I got 8 months left on this bet. I got real.
Who's the bet with?
I got a friend, Matt. And when the disclosure happened, I was in Roswell and I was feeling real. Real ambitious. And then there's not really been anything since.
What made you set this specific timeline? Why in the next 6 months or however long you said?
Well, it seemed like there was a lot of momentum for a minute. and then the momentum for sure stopped.
How much money are we talking?
I don't remember. I think it was $100. Maybe it was $300.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought you were going a little crazy. Yeah.
Good. Well, I just read a fascinating article. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was about all the presidents that have seen UFOs and or things that, you know, they think were UFOs or aliens. And it was really interesting. It covered a lot of Reagan and Carter. I can't really say much more than that because
did you send me, Josiah, did you send me the conspiracy theory about someone that whispered something to Jimmy Carter? Is that you?
That sounds like me. Well, so I know Jimmy Carter had, there's a lot of stories on Reddit about Jimmy Carter talking about UFOs and stuff. I think it was that there was someone in the government that like claims to have told him what actually was happening. And then it like fucked him up for a while. Cause I think Jimmy Carter was pretty religious.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And destroyed his faith in God or something like that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, I heard that, or in this article I read that a lot of his presidency or his running for presidency, he talked about how he wanted to know the truth about aliens. And once he was president, he was going to bring the truth to the people. And then once he became president, it was like crickets.
Cause
like,
he found out the truth and it fucked him up.
Right.
I think
right.
that's what and you would sent me, Josiah. Mm.
Yeah, I feel like that might have happened with a few presidents. I don't know.
I also read that Reagan and I think it was Gorbachev, they had this whole, you know, they didn't like each other. Things were not good. And then Reagan said, you know, if there were an alien invasion, would you help me defeat them? And Gorbachev was like, yeah, I would. And that created like a little bit of
my brother
understanding between the two of them. Like, yeah, if there were aliens,
nothing
would help
to
each
unite
other,
us,
save
like
the
a
world.
Common enemy. Right.
And I just thought it was such a fascinating Tales conversation, you know, like this little time in history that none of us were privy to until these days.
UFOs bringing the world together.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it is funny because maybe that's why. Maybe that's why there's disclosure now, because they're like, fuck, we need a good,
we need
something to unite this country.
Right?
Hey, guys, they're real. Let's get it together. Everyone get along.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Man.
The aliens are probably like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
We're going to stay out here.
That planet is diseased.
Yeah. They're going to doom themselves. We don't need to help.
I'm pretty sure we're like the equivalent of the milk they forgot in the back of the fridge when they were out of town. And they're just like, I'm not going to throw it away, but yeah.
I don't want to get close enough to touch it.
It's chunky and smells bad.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe a lot of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chunky and smells bad.
Rough days.
It's accurate. Yeah.
Okay. Switching gears completely from UFOs, will you tell us about this haunted house that you lived in?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So.
Oh, wait. Sorry, you saw a UFO. I'm just going
to say, I wanted to gloss over that. Have you ever seen one?
Okay, here's my caveat. I was moderately baked, so I don't fully count it, but there was someone else with me.
Goldie Hawn was tripping when one touched her face, so, you know, the standard is low.
Also, you weren't on shrooms or LSD. It was just a little bit of pot. So
just a little bit of an edible.
Yeah, I've had edibles and not seen UFOs, so... I saw it's incredible.
I've had an edible most days, and I've only seen a UFO once. So
love it.
So this is how we know there's no bias there.
True.
Right, totally scientific.
Yes.
So I was on a road trip, and I stopped in like southern Nevada, and I can't remember where I was going, but I camped in Nevada for a couple days, and it was just like a BLM, like public land, and I had made dinner. There were a bunch of wild donkeys. I was just like sitting in my chair with someone.
Amazing sounding night already.
It was great. The UFO is kind of just the cherry on top.
Yeah.
And then we were like sitting there, and like you can see the stars super clear. Like you can see the whole Milky Way, just because there's so little like light pollution. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there, and we both saw these like lights that were very far apart. Like if you're looking up, the distance between the lights was so far apart that either it was like extremely close or it was fucking massive and really far away. But it'd be like, it was like a section of the sky. And I didn't hear anything. And so that's the weird part, is like, if there were these lights that were like in a formation, kind of like it was like a long line and then like one on the end. If it was close and silent, that's weird. Terrifying. And if it's large enough for it to block out that much of the stars from far away, it would have to be super fucking big.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what that was. And it wasn't Starlink. Starlink moves in a line following itself. And also, like, I saw Starlink earlier that night. Yeah. And so this was like a line of lights kind of like going over the horizon like this, like in
bizarre.
Yeah. So
and going one direction or like moving around?
It kind of just like came up over the horizon and then slowed down and then kept going.
So did it almost look like it was like if you were to imagine it's one ship and there's lights on the front and lights on the back and then the middle was like the bottom of the ship? Or does it seem possibly, like there's multiple ships that were all together going in unison?
I don't know, because I couldn't see the shape of anything other than the lights. Like, I could see that the star, like, I couldn't see the stars in certain parts, so I could see there was, like, kind of the shape of something, but I couldn't tell if it was, like, one object or multiple objects. It was also Nevada, and I was near one of the big sort of test ranges, or, like, I think it's an Air Force base, I forget what it's called. So it very well could be some experimental craft, but it was also silent, which is definitely interesting. And moving... like not particularly fast. Like if I wasn't staring straight up for like 3 hours, I might've missed it. Because it's not like a fast moving light. It was just gradually
moving along in the night sky.
It probably went by in like 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Technically very much a UFO.
Right.
100%. You know? Did you take photos or videos?
No. I mean, it would have just been like a,
right. There's another star.
This is the reason why, like, you can't capture it because it's like, there's a blurry like night sky.
And I've just been chasing that high for years now.
Yeah. So did you feel like in that
both
moment,
the edible
you were, like,
and the UFO?
Were you like, oh, this is like immediately I'm knowing this is something kind of crazy and like I am very excited and captivated by this.
Yeah, well, so I was with someone, and so I was like, you're seeing this, right? Like, there's a line of light.
Look to someone and say that. You're seeing this, right?
You're seeing this? Yeah.
A dream.
Yeah. No, it definitely happened. Don't know what it was, but we were both baked, but she saw it too.
Did you feel like there was a different kind of energy around you? Like things were a little, just different?
It was like there was a good vibe in that desert. Like it's a really, really nice campsite. I was
cool.
A little baked, just hung out with like wild donkeys. So the energy was weird.
Yeah. You may have brought some of that with you to the desert.
Yeah.
I love it.
That is so cool.
Super cool.
I would love, I would love to just tonight. I was walking my dog and the sky's really clear tonight. And I was like, wouldn't it be so cool if I saw a UFO right now, right before we go to record? And I could be like, hey guys, fuck I just saw in the night sky. But I didn't, unfortunately. I saw nothing.
That's too bad.
That's the thing is bad, if you want it.
I know.
Yep. Yep.
I could just keep running outside naked in the night, like, take me. And they don't. They're like,
they know that we need you here, Haley.
Oh.
We need you too much.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thanks for trying to make me feel better about not being chosen by the aliens.
You're welcome. Anytime.
There's still time.
Okay. There is. You're still young. Youthful.
I'm so young. Thank you. So many years ahead of me. Have you had any other before I just change subjects entirely without fully exploring current topic? Any other spooky UFO? Skinwalker Ranch esque stories.
I don't think.
What is Skinwalker Ranch like anyway? You went, right?
I actually had to cut that one out of that trip because I didn't have time, but I'm definitely going to go back. Also, I got a little spooked. I was reading about it and like there were a lot of like cautionary tales about visiting Skinwalker Ranch. And I was like, maybe I don't do this one by myself.
Like what?
Yeah, like what?
I mean, again, who knows if any of this is true? It's probably all just marketing, but like you know, fun, people though. Talking about spooky shit following them home, or like, you know, having a bunch of like weird, like seeing things afterwards at their house. And I was just like
demon aliens.
I don't need that. I do enough hallucinations. I don't need to be worrying about if I brought something back with me. Yeah.
Well, so why does going with someone make it better?
Well, if you're going to go do something spooky, you don't want to go by yourself.
Well, right, but like you'll have to go home by yourself eventually.
Right.
We're all alone from dust to dust, my friend.
Yeah. I don't, in my head it's different. I don't know.
Yeah. No. It's like an emotional support person.
Right. Because also then
if never can leave.
If something is gonna come get me, then there's like a 50-50 chance which house it goes to first. True. So
that's true.
Safety in numbers.
This is why you have a kid and you just go his room.
Exactly.
He's a more pure soul. Take him.
Yeah. That's a pro move. Yeah. I'll just send him to your house. There you go.
There you go.
Oh my god, no. like skinwalkers, like the mythology of skinwalkers is scary. Actually something that terrifies me.
Same.
Yeah, it's really scary.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I don't really want to fuck with that shit.
I think that's a different, like, of cryptids. I don't understand that one. There's enough people that are just like, you can tell that they're just like straight up terrified of something, whether it's psychosis or something real. They're definitely terrified. And I was like, not today.
My one of my best friends, Katie, her husband is an archaeologist and he's worked at multiple national parks. And they worked in Arizona for a while and we visited them there and he was talking to us about skinwalkers and he was even scared to just talk about it because it's just, you know, you're kind of like opening the door to them. And as a, you know, archaeologist, he's heard all the native stories and legends and folklore and just hearing him talk about it. And he's a very sensible guy who went to school for many years and seeing him be spooked about it was like, oh, God, there's definitely something to be scared of. Let's stop talking about it.
I don't know why, like, stories that come from indigenous people that have been, like,
so much more weight,
you know,
to them.
These folk traditions, for so many centuries feel so much, like, more legitimate and scary and real.
For sure, agree.
I think it was an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. It was some Netflix show that had an episode with, like, a park ranger or, like, someone who works on the Navajo reservation talking about some crazy of the stuff that has happened there. And that was what freaked me out.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was just a really good episode, but definitely seemed like there was possibly some truth to it. So I'm going to bring another person.
Yeah, like there's so many Reddit stories about skinwalkers that are really creepy and terrifying.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. That's a Reddit I don't spend time on at night.
I've made that mistake.
Right. Okay. Now, tell us about living in a haunted house.
Okay. So, like 2014-ish, I thought it'd be a fun idea to drive from Portland to Brooklyn. Not sure why.
Nice.
So, the girl I was dating at the time lived in Michigan. And so, we stopped on the way to Brooklyn. Just quick on the way.
Just a nice little stop.
Stopped in Michigan to like meet her family and hang out there for a few days. Her house was super fucking haunted. Her like childhood home. There's a lot that happened, but I'll give you like the cliff notes. So the first couple days, nothing terribly weird. Definitely had some really weird fucked up dreams. And then,
oh, weird.
Yep, that's always a red flag for me. I've had that in a few hotels as well,
which is like out of the ordinary. Like usually, you just have normal dreams or no dreams, and then all of a sudden, you have like really vivid, not really horrible dreams,
or just like off topic, like complete like different dreams about things that I don't normally dream about. Yeah, or just like really violent or freaky. Yeah.
Where you're like, there is some outside force that is impacting this being in my brain right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Some other vibe. So that happened, but I didn't really think much about it. And then I was hanging out in like her sister's room with, so it was her and her sister and I, and it was like, you walk in the room and you're facing the bed and on the other side of the bed, there was like a little window nook with like a bookcase. So while we're all hanging out and chatting, like something just like fell off the bookshelf.
No.
Like what mm-hmm. we were just sitting there and like something fell off the bookshelf and it didn't like fall off straight down. It like fell mm-hmm. out off out. The bookshelf. Like it flew off.
No.
Yeah. And so I was like, what just happened? And
this doesn't feel good.
Like it's been a while.
Were they phased or were they like, oh, that this just happens here?
No, that's the thing. I was like, did you just see that? And they were like, yeah, that happens sometimes. And again,
excuse me?
This whole thing feels like a fever dream. I'm like,
right.
This.
Hey guys, that's not normal.
Yeah, that's not a thing that happens in every house.
I feel like normally I've never had stuff fly off a bookshelf. So then we were talking about it and they were like, yeah, it happens occasionally. One time it happened with a kitchen knife.
Goosebumps. Full body chills.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God.
Real bad.
And they
bad
just
vibes.
Took that as that's fine and normal?
Well, yeah. Yep. I mean, it was an interesting town that was not the most pleasant town. Like, very nice people, but it was also a town where Dow Chemical had a headquarters. So, like, Dow Chemical pays for cancer treatment for anyone in the town because they caused so much cancer in the town.
Oh, wow. Lord. Like bad vibes.
So just like everyone's a little bit depressed for fully valid reasons. So there's a lot of alcoholism and like I'm just trying to get to Brooklyn. Like
this was supposed to be a stop on the way.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it also ended up being like a week that we stayed there instead of like a couple hours. So
many days too long.
Yeah. Like the fourth or so day, I woke up and the girl I was dating at the time, we both woke up and we had like a fucked up dream and then we were talking about it and we realized we saw the same fucking thing. And
what did you see?
Like a black sort of like, it's really hard to explain, but basically like a figure, but it's kind of like, you know, like TV static where like an old TV where it's kind of like fading in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both saw that standing over the bed. And we both thought, like, I call it a dream because I'm pretty sure I was asleep, but she had the exact same experience at the same time as me. Oh, and then, so we woke up, and then we literally slept in the living room on the floor. We were just like, we are not sleeping in here. I don't know what is going on in this house. Like, I don't.
Oh my God.
I did not sleep very well. We kind of just like stayed up.
No doubt.
I think her sister came out and slept also out there. It was just bad vibes. Yeah,
oh my goodness.
The most haunted house I've stayed in some haunted houses. That is by far the most haunted. So I did research who lived there before them.
Oh, yes, thank hell you. Yeah.
Our people.
Yep. Had to know. I'm fuzzy on how I know this. If it was like, I got some tools for looking people up. But I'm pretty sure that I got it from her. Mom was telling me that like the people that were living there before, they had a kid that was like very abusive to animals.
Oh God.
So I don't know what happened in that house, but if you're a kid abusing animals, probably there was some abuse towards you to get you to that place. So maybe it was just like a, I don't know, just a history of bad vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I left.
Well, so did your girlfriend at the time, I mean, did she think her house was haunted? Was that a reality she accepted or was
they, not really? Yes. Like her and her sister were like, yeah, this happens. There's definitely something. I don't know if it, like, I don't know if there was like an outlier because I was there or like if they had experienced that all the time. I don't think that like the dream thing had happened to her before.
Because it seemed like she was spooked by that, too. If she's also like, yeah, let's get the fuck out of this room.
Yeah, it was like a full-on horror movie. Like,
maybe you being there made whatever was there feel like there's this new energy and we don't like it and you've put a change in the house. And
it was a fun new guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like you're perceptive and like aware of it and open to it. So it's like, oh, let's fuck with this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but yeah, well, so I believe in ghosts now.
Right. Well, you said this was not the only house you'd stayed in that's haunted. Where else have you stayed?
I mean, so I've just spent a lot of time in hotels. So like, I'll always look up like who's died in the hotel or like,
amazing.
Love you that. Know, like history. Like I stayed in one, oh gosh, I think it was like Northern California, and it had some really dark history. Like there, I think there was like a lynching on in that area or something. No. Oh, wow. So like I'll look up hotels, or like sometimes hotels will be marketed as like, hey, we have ghost tours and stuff like that. I've never seen anything in a hotel that advertises as having ghost tours. I think it's a good way to sell your hotel, but
do you look these things up because you want to be wary of opening yourself to them? Like, oh, maybe I don't want to stay there. Or do you look them up because you're like, ooh, that's going to make me want to stay there more?
Both.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're just interested.
I don't know why
I need to know, but I need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to know, but I want to know from a safe-ish distance, depending on how spooky it is. Yeah.
Have you ever decided not to stay in one because of something you found?
No. I've never actually seen anything spooky in a hotel. Like I've had like weird vibes or like nightmares in like a, you know, just generic hotels. But I've never had anything where I was like, oh, this is clearly haunted. I got to leave, other than that house in Michigan.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's like the kind of experience that I always say that I want. But then if it happened to me, I don't think I would cope well with it. Maybe like somewhere else.
I don't know if we've talked about this. There's this little town in Arizona called Jerome. It's amazing if you've never been there. It's just this tiny little old mining town, and just really cool. And they have this old hotel called the Connor Hotel. And it's just the perfect kind of place that you would imagine is haunted. And so I walked up to the front desk and I said, you know, do you have any ghost stories? And she said, oh, yeah, I've got a whole book. And I expected it would be like this bound book, you know, of just like hokey, like tourist crap. No, it was like a handwritten book of all the guests who've stayed and written about their experiences in each room. And so she was like, you can take so this cool. to your room with you and read through it. So I brought this book up to my room, and I got to read about everything that happened in room number 5 where I was staying. And so of course that whole night I'm just freaked out. I think I felt cold and there was no draft, and I'm pretty sure I had a bad dream. And of course I don't know how much of that is like self-induced and how much of that is, oh, there was something in there. But yeah, love a good haunted hotel.
I love when they keep
and also notes. Terrifying.
Yeah,
totally. It's. I mean, I don't know why every quote haunted hotel doesn't do that, because it's just so much more impactful.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that it was so folksy, handwritten, come join our ghost tour.
Right. Everyone has different handwriting. And that whole town, actually, there's a second hotel and restaurant that was like a former asylum. And so now you can stay in it and eat dinner in it. And it's just it's a trip. It's a crazy little town.
Man.
So highly recommend.
See, I am down for haunted things, but I'm not super down where there's like violent, like a history of violent, like, for example, you can go sleep in Alcatraz, but I've never been interested
there's a lot of ghost stories
place.
There
that oh, sounds yeah. even just walking there in the day with tons of other people, you feel that negative energy in there.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before. Even if it's not like a ghost or something, like that, there's like the place is marked in like some way, you can feel it.
Ooh, that'd be scary.
Yeah,
I like that. Especially because you can't get off. You can't go away.
You're stuck. It is the start of a horror movie.
Maybe you can swim.
Yeah.
I would watch that movie. I don't want to be part of it, though.
No.
Exactly.
Watch it on your couch while playing Candy Crush.
Exactly. Yeah, when we watch scary movies, because that's a thing that Elise and I do, I can't handle the like tension and stress of it sometimes, because I'm an anxious girly. And since I got off Lexapro, I have to find other ways to like get rid of the anxiety. So I'm just playing fucking games on my phone, and I look so rude. But it's like, I can't stare at the screen. I have to like be able to like look down and decompress while I'm watching it.
I will watch the TV from the reflection through the reflection, because for some reason that makes it less intense.
So funny.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I like horror movies. I have some friends that invited me to like a horror movie night during the pandemic, and we kind of kept it going. Horror is not my genre. So oh, really? I 100% watch like that. Like, I'll play the Switch while I'm watching. I'm just like, ooh, yes. this is a lot like, of eyeball
how,
stuff.
How are things on my little Animal Crossing island? Better trade some shit for some shit. Yeah. That's what I did during COVID. I played Animal Crossing while we watched scary movies. Mm. I would have like totally pegged you as a scary movie person.
No. I mean, I do and I don't. I don't know. I don't there's it's always like eyeballs. There's always every horror movie. It's always like something goes in an eyeball and that. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Hate that.
Really bothers you.
Really gets me. Really gets me.
That one's visceral. No, yeah. I get that. That totally makes sense.
Oh, man.
Okay, so you have this murder story, but how is it like super intensely long? Is it a good thing?
I can keep it quick.
You said it's really dark.
But yeah, I mean, you don't have to. Quick.
I can hit you with the cliff notes.
You don't even have to. We're only at 55
yeah,
minutes.
Tell us all the good or the bad.
Tell us the whole. Okay. Tell us, make it as long as you want.
So
we're captivated.
I was in Thailand for a couple weeks. Was like my first time in Thailand. Had a great time. Everyone was super friendly and nice.
I've been to Thailand, so I'm curious.
I had not been to Thailand, and so I would not have booked my trip the way I did. I stayed in Phuket, I think.
Phuket, yeah. That's like a very party beach area.
That's like the, yeah.
It was the wrong vibe.
Yeah, no. Not what you were going for.
Not what I was going for. You know, lesson learned. So it was the like night before. So we flew out the next morning. We were at a hotel like maybe a mile from the airport. And so we get to the hotel and it's like a, you know, newer building, very modern. It had like a main office and then two parallel buildings that are like the actual unit, like the hotel rooms, and then a pool in the middle. So to get to the room, you have to go like out of the office through a little garden path on stones. And then you go into the building and there's no elevators. So you go up like all the way to the other end of the building, up four flights of stairs. And then our room was all the way back on this end of the hotel. So quite a walk. So we got there, went to bed pretty early because we were flying out at like 5 a.m. And the person next to us came home and they didn't know we were there. So the whole building is empty. Like there is nobody else in this hotel that I saw other than the people beside us. Nobody in the pool, didn't see a single sign of another human in the hotel.
And they would put so there's two guests and they would put you next to each other. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
give you some space.
Also, had you researched, had any murders happened before you stayed at this hotel?
Unfortunately, no.
Bummer. You didn't know this was a hotspot for crime.
This is what led you to researching hotels. This experience, we're getting down to it.
I am a lot more careful about hotels now.
Uncovering everything.
On the scene. Okay, keep going.
So the person beside us comes home and it's like, we wake up to a domestic, it sounded like a domestic dispute. Like walls aren't super thin, but like, there's a lot of yelling. It's very loud. It doesn't sound good, but I also I never know how to like handle those situations because getting someone else involved can make it worse. And like,
yeah.
So it got to the
point. Also, you don't want to die.
And you're in a foreign country. Right. Yeah, domestic disputes are the most dangerous phone calls that police officers get because they are dangerous.
Yes.
Were these Americans or Thai people or other nationalities?
There was some English, but the majority was not English. So it was a man and a woman in the other room. And I could make out occasionally there'd be an English phrase from the man. So it got so extreme to the point where I called the front desk to try to be like, hey, like, you gotta do something. Someone's in trouble. I don't know what I would do, but again, the language barrier. So they had no idea what I was trying to communicate. I think they were talking about room service and other things. So I was like, yeah, no, never mind. And then they were like, oh, we'll come to your room. And I was like, no, don't come to my room. Not tell them I'm here. Like my blinds are shut, lights are off. Like they don't know I'm here. Or I did not want, because I'm in a hotel room alone with someone who is starting to sound violent. So at this point, we're like,
so you, I thought you had a friend with you.
Oh, I did.
You
by
yourself? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
I had a friend with me. So it was the two of us and like nobody, but aside from those two rooms, not a single person in the hotel.
God, that's terrifying.
Scary.
And the terrifying part is I have to go to the end of the hall, down four flights of stairs, and then back all the way through the hall to the outside. And then I'm in the lobby, and then there might be someone in the office. And it's like, you know, a street, and it would take time to get a cab. Like, getting out of the situation would not have been quick.
Not easy.
Felt like you'd get, expose yourself to a lot. And you don't want to call the authorities there because that just might not be a thing that you want to get involved in Southeast Asia.
I genuinely, I was like, it was so bad that I felt it was incorrect to do nothing, but I, beyond calling the front desk, like.
Yeah.
Don't really have a lot of tools available to you in a foreign country where you don't speak the language.
Right.
As someone who needed help at the U.S. Embassy in Thailand, they did jack shit for me. So probably good you did not try to get involved.
I've definitely done more research on like how to approach like a domestic dispute if you're like a bystander. But I still don't think there's really much I could have done in that situation.
No great options.
No.
So
you call the front desk.
Call the front desk. Doesn't really help. We're still like lights off, pretending we're not there, being completely silent. And then I realize that the buildings are parallel. So I can look out my blinds and off the mirror, off the window on the other side, and his blinds are open. So I can see like basically the plot of Rear Window.
I was going to say, you are Jimmy Stewart. Like, this is Rear Window.
Yeah. So I can see like into their main room. So like where the bed is, the TV, and then there's like a bathroom off to the side. So I can't see in the bathroom. And so I just have it like cracked a little bit so he can't tell that I'm in there. And I can see like a man and a woman, arguing, yelling, screaming, fighting. And so we just kind of sit and wait it out because we're like, we don't know what to do, but this is like a horrible thing to be a part of. It gets really loud and it turns into like a very panicked, like very different kind of screaming, definitely like blood curdling.
Oh man.
Hard to imagine. Like there's definitely things that it could have been that weren't a murder, but it's really hard to imagine what those could have been. And then it just gets completely silent all of a sudden, like just full silent stop. And so at this, like,
I'm assuming that the woman was the one blood curdling screaming, right?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. So she is completely silent. Like, there's like thudding and then just silence. And so I'm looking at the curtain, and at this point I'm like terrified that he might know that I'm just like in the room next to him.
Yeah.
The girl I was with was, very panicked. Like, we were trying to figure out how to call a cab and then like mentally going through like how fast, like we were going to leave our bags and just like run to the cab as soon as it got there.
Oh my God.
So we're very, very stuck in a bad situation. I see him come out of the bathroom and just like sit. So he sat on the bed facing the window. So I'm like literally staring in the reflection straight at him. And he's just sitting there by himself, like staring straight ahead, kind of like dazed. For like 10 minutes.
Oh God.
And then
like he just murdered someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I would like to believe that's not what happened, but it's hard to come up with anything else that could have happened.
And she didn't come out of the bathroom.
Nope. Never heard her or saw her at all after that. Then his phone rings, and I'm pretty sure it was because I called the front desk. They checked on that. Like, they might've figured out what I was trying to communicate and called to do like a, check in
wellness check or whatever.
So I hear him pick up and, talk for like maybe 30 seconds and then put the phone down, and he just stayed sitting there staring out the window. So we're fully panicked. We're just like, we just witnessed a murder. Like we're in a room by ourselves next to a murderer. Like, this is not a good situation. So, like maybe 10 minutes later, we just hear a bunch of people coming through. And so what happened was a airline, like the whole flight crew or a couple flight crews, got booked right where we are. So literally the minute they got to our door, we opened the door and like went as they were coming through. So like you couldn't hear the fact that we just used the fact there was a lot of noise to like get out. And we grabbed one of the cabs from the people who had just got there, and we just went straight to the airport. Like, they're like, that, I'm done.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really gnarly. Still don't know what happened. Probably never will, but it wasn't a good thing. I don't know what happened in that room, but nothing good happened.
Yeah, did you like look at news there from that time to try and like see if anything was reported?
I tried to look stuff up. I didn't see anything. Also, like, language barrier. I didn't really know how to find anything. I don't think it. I'm skeptical that it would have been reported because I didn't even find anything close to what I was looking for. So. I don't know. But also that there's like a whole flight crew that spent the night next to a active crime scene. Like,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if it would have ended up differently if the flight crew had arrived 10 minutes earlier and they would have heard all that commotion and the guy would have toned himself down.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Wow. That's intense.
The scariest part almost is the unknown of like, what did I see / hear? Like, what did I bear witness to?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Wow. Her and I didn't talk about that for probably like a month after. It was definitely
just like, processing it.
It was definitely a violent thing. I mean, that was a lot for her to experience, especially as a woman. Like, really traumatic.
And to feel so like sort of helpless in that moment, I imagine, because you're like, if I were like in my home country and I spoke the language, or even like if I were somewhere else that speaks English where I'm more familiar with the customs and like know who I can trust and feel like safe, that I would be protected if I got myself involved in this situation, then, you know, that's one thing. But you're just like, we just have to crouch here and pretend that we're not here, and that's the only way to keep our bodies safe right now. That's really scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
holy shit.
Interesting. It made me think about sort of like, I don't know. It is very different being in another country where you're not a citizen. You have very different rights. There's a language barrier and there's like a cultural difference as well. Like understanding the norms and sort of like how would you deal with that situation? If you were a resident and, you know, understood everything. So
I remember when I was in Indonesia, because I went with friends that were from Australia, and like that's really a close flight that's like going to Mexico for Californians almost. They were like, do not get in trouble with the law. The police are corrupt. It's not safe. Like, don't touch drugs while you're there. You will end up in prison for the rest of your life. Like, just like really like do not get involved with anything shady. Because like it's not a safe place and you cannot trust the police. So like just don't do anything bad. And it's like, fuck, that's kind of a scary, scary environment to be in.
Indonesia is
thankfully
real
I'm like
strict.
A little like innocent baby, so I don't do anything bad. But it's like, shit, yeah. Like, I imagine there maybe are some similarities where you're like, if we call the police right now, will we just get ourselves tangled in something where, like, we end up, involved in something that
I know in Thailand, I don't know if this is true for their police, but I know that as far as their government and their king, like as an outsider, you're not supposed to even mention the crown or the king or their politics because they take great offense to that. They're like, you're an outsider. You have nothing to say about this. You have no opinion. You're not allowed to have
one. Wow.
So I remember being told, like, don't ask them about their politics. That's a slight against them, and they won't like it.
Interesting.
And so I wonder.
Our murderers are our own domestic concerns.
Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe police wouldn't have liked that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Scary.
Like, when you go see a movie in Thailand in a movie theater, before the movie plays, there's a whole national anthem and video for the king, and you have to stand up and put your hand on your heart, like, to the king. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah,
that's wild.
That is wild.
So I would be very scared to get involved with their, you know, inner workings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless I knew the language and I, you know, knew someone there, I would just be very hesitant.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you had that experience. That's
scary. Horrible.
It was definitely a rough experience, you know. I am a lot more aware of my surroundings when traveling. But, you know, you can't plan for everything. stuff happens.
You're like a hotel by the airport. Like that's not probably where you thought you'd be like putting yourself at risk for something.
Hotel by the airport. But the first red flag is don't stay in an empty hotel. Like that is just spooky to begin with.
But how could you have known that at the front desk when you booked the room?
It looked empty.
Oh,
they were a little too happy I was checking in.
I don't know why this made me think of it, but it did. When I lived in New York, when I lived in Brooklyn, I lived in like a really weird apartment building. It was four stories and I lived on the top story, and each like floor, it was like a beautiful old brownstone, and each floor was a different apartment. And a lot of people had lived there for like 15, 20 years. And so that the landlord was incredibly quirky. She had inherited this building from her father, and like these had been really long-term tenants. And I feel like they all just like, I don't know, like they like weren't aware of how fucked up everything was. Like they just really tolerated in the building. Like
that rent weird control, man.
Yeah. And like, well, just like weird behavior. So my downstairs neighbor was a music instructor and would teach music lessons from his apartment all day long. And it's like fucking trumpet, guitar. Like,
oh my God.
Really loud. And his music studio was below my bedroom. So he was very loud all the time. And I would like get home from work and he'd be teaching a trumpet lesson. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? But whatever. But like if I like walked around at night in my room, they would start hitting the ceiling. Lord. Like they would complain. They would send me emails if I made noise. Like it was a whole thing. And I got this email from them that was like, hey, Haley, do you have any like machine, CPAP machine, like something, mini fridge, something in your room that's doing like a constant sort of noise, buzzing, like electrical vibration, because we've been hearing this sort of like low grade vibration for like a couple weeks. And I can't remember what his name was, like the husband, it's like interfering with his ability to sleep. He's not sleeping well because he hears this like low hum all the time.
Maybe that's your hearing aid. It needs a battery.
I was like, sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. But like we shared a wall with the building next door, you know? So I was like, you might check with people on the other side because like, you know, it like my bed was against the wall, like the shared wall. And so it was, I think they maybe, I don't know, they slept somewhere, you know, close by. And then I guess he fucking lost it because one night I wake up and it's like, I don't know, 3 or 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I hear him screaming, turn it the fuck down, turn it the fuck down. And then he plugs in his electric guitar into the amp and turns the amp on full blast and just starts hitting and strumming on his guitar. And the whole building is shaking. It's like the whole building is like vibrating. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? My roommate wasn't there. I don't know where she was. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's screaming and yelling and it's going on and on and on. And like, I'm like, wait for a minute, wait for another minute, wait for another minute. He's still going. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So I call the police because I'm like, this is America. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but like, I don't feel safe right now. Mm-hmm. Is he going to fucking shoot through?
He thinks it's you. Right.
He thinks it's me. He's already sent me an email that he thinks I'm doing something.
Oh my God.
So I was like, fuck this. I call the police and I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, I do not want him to hear me because I don't want him to know that it's me calling because he's scary. Yeah. And like, he always gave me the heebs. I never liked him. I thought he was a weirdo, but I just thought he was like a quirky, you know, whatever. I don't want him to hear me. So I'm like whispering in my bathroom. Like,
oh my God,
I live in this brownstone downstairs. This man is screaming and he's just plugged his guitar in and he's like playing his electric guitar. Like amp is at full blast. Our building is shaking and he's yelling and I'm scared. They're like, because I lived in like bougie white Brooklyn. I lived in Park Slope. They're like, we'll have someone out there immediately, ma'am. And in like 3 minutes, there were two, you know, like police officers. And I said, when you get here, please give them my cell phone number to call me and I will buzz them in. I will let them into the building. So they and they asked my information and my apartment number. They fucking buzz. Like they press the number 4, which is the floor that I live on. So bzzz, in my apartment. Right. It starts going off. I'm like, now he's going to fucking know that it was me that called. So I like go stay. I like go put my door ajar. They come up to my apartment. Oh my God. Can you tell us what's been going on, ma'am?
I'm like, was the guitar still going at this point?
He had turned off the guitar, but he was still like, you could hear him yelling belligerently. And I was like, like he's just screaming. He's belligerent. I don't know what's going on. Like I received an email a few days ago saying that there was some low hum that's keeping him up at night. And so they go downstairs and knock on his door and he comes to the door. He's like, what? And cause I like listened,
right.
You know, cause it's just like open sort of right. Like, you know, stairwell. And he's like, what? And they're like, you know, we've like received a, we're coming to do a wellness check. We've heard that you're like yelling and playing your guitar very loudly and like screaming. And he's like, there's a noise. No one is dealing with the noise. Why aren't you dealing with the noise?
Oh my
and
God.
They're like, sir. And I'm like, oh fuck, he's crazy, crazy. Like wow. He was not apologetic. He wasn't right. Like, I'm so sorry. Right. You're right. I shouldn't be doing this. He like doubled down and was like, well, like maybe you should figure out what this noise is that's keeping me up at night. I haven't slept in weeks. And like starts going on. And the officers are like, sir, like going to need you to calm down. Like you need to be quiet. And he just was like,
did they find out what the noise was?
No. But what's so fucking stupid. So I like email my landlord and I'm like, what the actual fuck is going on? Like yeah. I just had to call the police because this is what's going on. And she like forwards me an email that she received from his wife. I guess his wife had gone out of town for work. And she was like, I'm so sorry. He's been very upset. He hasn't slept. There's been this thing going on. We haven't been able to figure it out. And the landlord asks me, like, do you know what's going on? I'm like, you guys are all fucking crazy.
Oh
and I'm
my
like,
God.
No, why didn't you, did you ask them to check next door? She's like, they haven't checked next door yet. I'm like, well, then obviously it's not bothering you that fucking much.
Right.
If you can't even, like, we had the email. I knew the phone number of the gal who lived on the other side. But what was so crazy to me is that, like, no one held this man accountable for his behavior. Mm-hmm. His wife apologized. But still there was this undertone of, like, but you have to understand. There's this noise. Like, it's really upsetting. It's really disturbing to him. And I was like, you guys are all fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not normal. And the landlord was like, you know, it sounds like he's under an immense amount of stress right now and he hasn't been able to sleep. I'm like,
well, okay.
It sounds to me like he needs hospitalization. Yeah. Like, what? That is not a normal reaction.
Haley, this same thing happened to Ben's parents, my husband's parents, except this woman actually was, I think she was bipolar, but Ben's parents
there was some pathology at work here as well,
I'm sure. They just had a ceiling fan on the ceiling. And so they were the bottom floor and this woman was the top floor. And the ceiling fan would be on, she'd be like, it's so loud. I can't sleep. I hear the ceiling fan. And so the people would come to the apartment to like listen, like the board. And they'd be like, no, there's no sound or it's barely audible.
Yeah.
And she was insane.
You'd have to be listening for it.
Yeah. But she was held accountable and basically got booted from the apartment because she just,
oh, good.
Would not stop bothering them.
People that did not
crazy.
Happen here. Yeah. But I remember that feeling of like crouching in my bathroom, trying to silently call the police and be as quiet as possible because it was like, am I safe in this moment?
Right.
Like, is this a time? You know, like, am I going to be in danger right now? Which is such a scary feeling. Mm-hmm. And I felt scared in America, in my own home where I speak the language. And like,
but you are Canadian,
I don't know,
so
semi trust the police. Like in Park Slope, I was like, I'm a white woman. I know they're going to represent my best interests here.
Right.
It's the like trying to communicate, like, don't come to my door. Like, I don't want to talk to you. I want you
to
pretend you've never heard from me.
Yes. I don't want it to be known that I am the one that brought this to your attention. And then they ring my fucking loud doorbell and then come up to my apartment. I'm like trying to whisper and they're like, ma'am, what's been going on here? I'm like, hello.
Can't follow directions.
Lower your voice. He's going to kill me in my sleep.
Fucking
just be cool, man.
Yeah, just please, like, right? I don't exist.
Right? Like, please. Oh, man.
So has that impacted your, like, traveling abroad or no?
Yeah, your adventurousness?
No.
No.
Good.
No. I've stayed in so many hotels. So, like, I'm in San Francisco for work a lot. Yeah, stuff happens. It's not the only time I've, like, overheard a domestic dispute or, you know, something on the other side of a hotel room, but it's definitely different being outside the country you're a citizen or like experiencing it with a language barrier.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I imagine that would be very haunting.
Ben and I were in, I think we were in Charleston. Yeah, we were in Charleston, South Carolina. And we were walking around late at night. We'd gone out to a bar and we'd had some drinks. And then we were kind of walking near this. They have this like great indoor-outdoor shopping thing that they have on weekends, like a farmer's market kind of thing. And so at this time of the day, it was just completely shut down. It was just dead. And there was this guy walking with his, I don't know if it was his fiance or what. And he kept trying to like throw himself on her. And she was like, no, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And he just wouldn't stop. And he started getting physical and violent. And Ben was like, we need to go help her. And I was like, no, like, what if he turns on you? What if he has a gun? He's like, well, we can't just leave her. And I'm like, yeah, I know, you're right. But like, also I'm trying to,
I also don't want to die. Our
safety. And he kind of ran after her and was like, what's going on? And then that gave the woman like some time to just like get him off her. And she started running. And the guy was like, you know, kind of embarrassed or shaken or whatever. And so enabled them to separate. But I was like, well, my husband's the hero and I'm just a little bitch that's like, no, we can't interfere. But it is scary, you know? Like, I don't know if that guy has a gun or what. Like,
you just don't know.
No, you don't.
Well, especially if you suspect that the person who is having a conflict in the room next to you may have just murdered someone, you're like, well, I think that he's capable of murder. So at this point, I think laying low is my best bet.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Now, you just never know what people are capable of. That's the scary thing. And living in a country with so many guns freely available.
Yeah.
I spent 3 years in Canada and then moving back. There's some real nice things you don't have to think about in Canada.
Right.
In those kinds of situations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lisa and I just had that conversation a few weeks ago about like, when you go to the movie theater, do you look at the closest exit? Like,
there was just a double homicide at Walmart in Anchorage tonight.
Oh,
like an employee was shot outside in the parking lot. I don't know the details, but they shut down the whole store. And I'm like, jeez. Wow. Yeah, it happens.
Moral
everywhere.
Of the story.
Don't stay leave your in house. Your
home. Trust no one. Mm-hmm. Go to therapy. Do you have any cute, fun, ooky, spooky stories that you want to end on? Because that one is kind of a downer, like you warned.
Let's see. Ooky, spooky. Well, I was just in Salem for Halloween.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Tell us about Salem. We talked about that you were in
Salem. We really
Salem.
Are living
vicariously.
Yes. It was fun. It was a great experience. I probably would never do Halloween in Salem again. It was an absolute zoo. But it was really cool. Like, people had very elaborate costumes, kind of felt like a Comic-Con or something. And then we went back the next day because I wanted to go to a bunch of like shops and look at some books and talk to people.
Oh yeah. Were you going to go to a medium or a tarot or something?
We went and got our auras read, which was
right.
Fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Elise about that.
Yeah.
So you you sit down and they have these like electrodes you like put your hands in. And then they take a photo and it comes out on like an Instax, like an instant.
Does it show your color around you? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll send you the photo. It's also just a cool photo if nothing else. But it was really interesting because all of ours were like distinctly different. And then we took one together and the same like colors would show up. Yeah. There you go.
Ooh, that's a beautiful photo.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I would love to hear what Shannon has to say about that, Haley.
Yeah, I wonder.
Well, so what did they say your color meant or your aura meant?
Oh, look at that. I don't remember all of what she said, but I do remember she said that I had done a lot of work. And I was like, mushrooms. A lot of mushrooms.
Haley, we need to get a picture like
Hard
that.
Work. We do.
Like, that needs to be our new cover for the
Yes.
We so do.
Sounds like you should go to Salem.
I mean, it's already
on the list.
I've
had this bit for years where I say that my aura is seafoam and people are like, ooh, really? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, what does it mean? I'm like, seafoam is my favorite color. So that's what I decided my aura is.
Wouldn't it be a trip if it was?
That's how that works, Haley. What if it is?
It could be. That's one of the, like, there are parts of those photos that had like green and like,
yeah, what
Dave's
did you say? Like the
all
different
blue.
The different colors were about like entities that are following you or something.
Yeah, so like the little like white blotches above your head, like if they're on one side versus the other, they're supposed to be like entities that are sticking around and watching out for you or following you, whether they're good or bad. I don't know.
So did you walk out of that experience feeling like, yes, this is totally legit, or like maybe some of it is, or maybe this is just totally bullshit?
I would say I was like, I don't know. I want to believe. Yes. I don't know. Like, it was interesting. Like, yeah. Some of what she said was like very accurate. Cause like all three of us got the, you know, she got a lot of our money.
Is it expensive?
It was. It was like, I think it was like $150 for two photos.
Jeez, she's making bank.
At least you should do just like photography.
I know.
Absolutely should.
You have all of the requirements. You're a photographer and you're a spooky bitch.
I guess.
And you're slept for cryptids. That's just a bonus.
I'm hired.
You can sell your Bigfoot erotic fiction on the side. Mothman. I'm sorry, Mothman.
Yes.
my aura is just a
Mothman above me.
Behind you. Like, yeah. It depends on the day. What did you say about your friend? And like her one said something about like feminine energy, and she just had a dream about her grandma who died or something like that. Oh,
wow. Yeah. So her reading, like the orbs were a little bit more clear, I think. And it was, I think it was on the matri or like the maternal side of the like photo. Mm. And then she had just had a dream. I can't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, like her grandma, like talk to her in a dream over the phone.
So cool.
And then, yeah, that's apparently happened a few times with other people in her family. Wow. So, like they'll get calls and then they'll check with other people and like, they will also like, have had calls. Oh yeah,
she called me too.
I love that. So there's things like that where I'm like, well, I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. That's like an interesting coincidence. Mm-hmm. So really cool. I don't know. I want to believe.
Super cool. Was so it's Salem. You know, we just had that episode about the Salem witch trials. Did you feel like there was a lot of emphasis on the witches for Halloween, or was it just like a Halloween smorgasbord of just everything?
So they did a really good job at all of the like the memorial and everywhere else being very clear that they weren't witches. Like, mm-hmm.
Cool.
They were effectively,
yeah,
like innocent people that a town very quickly decided to murder.
Yeah.
So there's definitely witches now, but it was definitely like a lot of people seemed like they were there, like doing a tourist attraction for like that memorial. Like a lot, there's like these benches like at the memorial, and people like put stuff on them as if they're like tombstones. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They're like they're stone benches.
Yeah. When
like
I was there, they were covered in flowers.
Yeah. Well, so I was there the morning after Halloween. So they were covered in like buzz balls and PBR.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Pouring out for our fallen sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
No, like cool town. Mm-hmm. Big fan.
So do you have a good thing? We like to ask our guests if they have a good thing they'd like to share.
A good thing.
Good thing. Let's see. I am getting ready to work from the road again. I'm going to probably go work from, I'm done with winter. Did 3 years in Canada. I'm over it.
Cause you're in Bend right now.
Yeah. Also a ski town. Like,
yeah.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm going to go take the truck. I'm like getting a bunch of cabinets and stuff put together and going to go just work from Joshua Tree or somewhere warm, literally just looking up temps. where is nice?
Following the sun.
Do you have any spooky spots you're going to hit there or along the way?
Well, that's a good question. There's lots of, Bigfoot is all over California, so it can.
Don't we know it? Know, it can happen anytime.
I try not to want it so that it'll happen, but
it's so hard though.
So hard. Well, Haley has a great book now on how to find him. Maybe she can. Give you some tips.
Really?
Yeah, Bigfoot Hunter's Manual. Ooh, hunting okay, only in that we're finding him. Hunting not in that we're killing him.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Never.
Definitely not.
Are you going to go look for the orbs in San Diego this trip?
That is the plan. I think it's like near La Jolla.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, but there's so many things I see on Reddit about people seeing stuff down there. So, fingers crossed.
Heck yeah.
Would love to see some orbs.
I look forward to you reporting back on your next visit to this podcast about all the orbs that you saw or that you had a sensual encounter with Bigfoot in the forest.
Or an essential encounter with some aliens. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Tell them to send their spaceship to Haley. She's ready.
Done.
I want it too bad. Sick. That spite will never happen to me.
Well, we can hope.
It's going to be real weird when I'm like coming back and like, yeah, I got abducted.
And I'm like, tell me all about it. But first, let me get my microphone. Wow. That was a delight.
So good.
Thank you so much for joining us.
So much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
I have a feeling we'll talk again because your life seems to just unfold in mysterious ways and we need to know about it.
Well, you are like going to the source of the spookiness. So inevitably, you're going to have spooky encounters.
Mm-hmm. And when you go to Skinwalker Ranch, we definitely need to hear about it.
I want to go. Yeah. If you go, I want to go.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not doing that one by myself. So that's a good summer activity.
Yeah. I think I would.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I just hit my thing. Would you come with us?
I think I have to.
Did an easy bake.
You have to.
Coven plus honorary boots on the ground just on a Skinwalker Ranch trip.
Yeah.
It would be so fun.
It'd be so fun.
That'd be a good time. Yeah. No, I'm super down.
At Skinwalker Ranch.
You see something, you're like, take her.
Take my young baby.
Throw your baby at a Skinwalker.
Yeah. No, it'll be way safer for me if we have children to use as
you're like, decoys. We said in the beginning of the podcast.
Done.
Give it to
slow,
the baby.
Slow, weak.
You don't have to run fast. You just have to outrun the baby.
Perfect.
She can't even walk.
And so it's going to be golden. So easy.
we'll also be so much more approachable for a cryptid, right?
Ew.
Like, I'm not just like a scary
some weird
dude
man
over.
In the forest.
I'm like, oh, there's like, women and children.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much. It was truly
a
pleasure.
You. That was fun.
Yeah.
Let's
Thanks
do it
for
again
having
sometime.
Me. Anytime.
All right. We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
Have a good rest of your night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
That was so good.
How fun was that?
So fun. So good.
What an adventure.
What a life. What a guy.
Dude, for real. Good guy to know.
Yeah, apparently. I'm glad we know him.
He's going to have good stories aplenty as the years go by, I think.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to find Bigfoot,
it's going to be him.
Money's on him. Unlike him,
like
I'm
magnet.
Not going to make a bet on it.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I was really glad, though, when he said it was only like $100 or $200. I was expecting like big money.
I know. He was like, I got big money on there. I was like, did you just make a $15,000 bet with
like,
a friend
that was
about?
A bad, bad dude.
Don't bet on the U.S.
I
government.
I don't think the government's ready to say we have bodies yet. I don't. I think that's going to take a while.
Well, and like that guy said, we did, and then nothing ever happened. Non-human biologics, is that what he said?
Mm.
And then nothing ever happened.
And then remember the guy in Mexico who was like, look at these alien bodies I have? And we were like, yeah. Those
you know what's so crazy?
Mache. What?
More hear about them. They actually might be like real mummies that he manipulated. There's bones in them.
Really?
There are like children bones in them, maybe. They might, like he may have stolen children mummies. Yeah, I feel like I can't comment any further on this because I've only just like listened to podcasts that mention it and I haven't like done the proper research, but like it's weirder than we thought.
Okay, so it's not possible they're aliens and that's their alien bones. I don't think so. Okay.
No, I think actually, if anything, he desecrated burial sites.
That's horrible.
Which is worse than making a papier-mâché mummy.
Yep. He needs to go to Mexican prison. That
which is
at
not
least the judge has
something
ruled.
I would
wish on
like, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Oh man, well that was really fun.
That was great fun.
Hope everyone had an amazing Thanksgiving and you are currently eating your leftovers, stuffing your face full of Haley's
potatoes.
Favorite. Exactly.
Mashed potatoes, scallop potatoes, funeral potatoes.
Yes.
Just a fucking raw potato. Just taking a bite like an apple.
And pie. You gotta have some
yeah.
pie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Love it.
What's
your good thing, Lisey?
My good thing Well, I guess I'll say what we're going to be doing for Thanksgiving is that what I will have done for Thanksgiving when this episode comes out.
What did you do yesterday for Thanksgiving?
A friend of mine who I met through the mom's group that I joined after Eloise was born.
Oh, nice.
She's the one who started it here in Alaska. Yeah, yeah. And we've become good friends. And she was like, no one should be alone.
Wait, can we really quickly plug that you got a really nice email talking about what a great facilitator you are for your group, which surprises no one, but yay, Elise. Okay, sorry.
Continue. That was another good thing that really made my whole day. They were like, you
love it.
You've been so nice for our group. And she's really a good listener. And just, it was really nice. It was really sweet.
And they were like, Elise validates and normalizes everyone's concerns and makes sure everyone feels heard and seen. And I'm like, yes, this is what queen. We need for mothers.
Yeah, it really.
I'm snapping for you. That's one sorority girl holdover. It just comes out when I drink.
I love that. I love getting snaps. But yeah, so she and I became good friends and have kept in touch since our group. You know, it's ended now, but since our group got together, we've stayed in touch. And she just said, I think people should be together on Thanksgiving, so we'd love to have you to our family. And really excited to meet her parents. And she's got a year old baby and a 3 or 4 year old who's super sweet. And so just really excited to be invited. And it's so kind. And it's gonna be a good time. So
It was a good time.
It was a great time.
You were so honored to have been there.
So honored. Yeah.
And it was so nice.
It was so nice and delicious and good. So what's your good thing?
My good thing is that today we finished the wreaths for forest school. We made 100 wreaths this weekend.
Good God. Are your hands so sore?
Yeah. And I don't know if you can see, there's just like dirt, even though I had my gardening gloves on.
Yeah.
Just have disgusting gardener hands right now. Yesterday morning when I showed up, there were like four people. And I was like, we have to make 100 wreaths.
God.
How are we going to be able to do that? Lord. But then today, a whole bunch of people came, way more people. So we were able to finish it. At the end, it was just like for the last couple hours, it was just me, one of the teachers, and one other mom, and we were just cranking them out. But we got it done.
Good
and
for you.
I've been having stress dreams about it. I haven't been sleeping. So
tonight's going to be such a good night. Because you don't have to think about the wreaths anymore.
Podcast is done.
Yeah.
Wreaths are done. My second good thing is that we are fostering a dog that came from Texas last night. And I was also really nervous about how that would go.
That's
first
done.
Of all, because she came from Texas and it's a long transport and it's kind of hectic.
Yeah.
And we agreed on Thursday to take her and she got on the transport on Thursday night. So it's kind of been chaos.
Whirlwind.
And she's really, really sweet and very cute. And it seems like she's going to be a lovely dog if we can just get her to pee outside. So
don't stress about that.
That was another thing. I'm like, tonight I'm going to take my whole ass sleep aid. Usually I take a half.
Hell yeah.
I drank this big tall boy.
Yes.
And I'm going to be fucking chilling. So
it's going to be, you know what? It's all up from here.
It is all, yes. Yeah, and it's about to be Thanksgiving. We're about to have a week off.
And in a few days, you get to eat all the potatoes you could ever dream of.
So many potatoes. I'm going to make myself sick with mashed potatoes.
I'm really excited for Eloise to try mashed potatoes. She hasn't done that yet. And I'm going to let her try some pumpkin. You know, we're not doing sugar, but I'm like, you got to try some pumpkin pie. Like, come on, it's Thanksgiving. So,
yeah, 100%.
She's going to be into that. I'm pretty excited.
Yay. Yay. If you heard tonight's episode and you were like, dang, I've got some stories about witnessing a murder,
you
staying
could be like
in a
Josiah.
Haunted house, just let us know.
We're easy to talk to.
Can you hear how fun that was? We planned a road trip together by the end of the episode. Elise has never even met him in person.
And now he's my travel companion.
And a friend for life.
For life.
You're going to co-author erotic Bigfoot fiction.
In my dreams. It's going to be like Freddy versus Jason, Mothman versus Bigfoot.
And it ends with a threesome and Elise is right in the middle.
Good God.
It's a bit of a Eiffel Tower situation.
Oh, no. I'm so vanilla. I can't even picture what that means.
Google it. Or
nope,
don't.
Nope. My
this is
Google
a bit that
results
will never get
will
old.
Be very
your targeted ads will be funky.
And it won't be for visiting Paris. It'll be something for very
it
different.
It will not.
Oh, my goodness. Well, on that note. That was really good. Follow us, like us, subscribe, rate, share with all your people, and submit your awesome stories to us at easybakecovenpodcast@gmail.com or easybakecovenpod@gmail.com. No, the easybakepod@gmail.com.
We give her one drink.
One drink. It's not, and it's cut with eggnog. I don't even, who am I? theeasybakepod@gmail.com. That's what
Easy Bake Coven Podcast on Instagram.
Yes. Yes.
If you want, I've only gotten one person who said they want an I'm a Slut for Cryptid sweatshirt other than Elise. And I'm not having the screen printing done for two sweatshirts. So if you want one,
drop it in the inbox. Let us know.
Yes.
Stat.
And on that note, friends, don't forget to keep it spooky
and make it sweet.
Happy haunting.